Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through verse 35. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Acts chapter 4. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So right at the middle of this text, verse 33 says, and with great power he gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That's why the apostles existed. They were sent for a purpose, to bear witness to the resurrection of Christ. Next chapter we'll see in 5, they're persecuted for it, beaten for speaking the name Jesus, and sent away. And they go away rejoicing for having been rendered worthy of suffering for the name of Christ. You remember it. Right before this text today, the verse 31 is, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. When the Holy Spirit shows up, the word is spoken. The word is empowered by the Spirit. You want to know what the Holy Spirit's task is, it is to point to Jesus in the Word. Wherever the Word is going on, the Holy Spirit is going on. Wherever the Holy Spirit is allegedly going on and the Word is not, the Holy Spirit is not going on, no matter what it looks like. And at the end of this text, the mention of a guy who was heavily involved in that Word, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. There he is, a living, breathing guy who really existed in history. The son of consolation, do you know what that word is in the original? Barnabas is a paraclete. You know what the paraclete does? Gives the spirit to, speaks the word. We have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ. The text says, paraclete. What does Jesus do? He speaks the word, and he promises the Spirit will bring to their remembrance everything which was spoken by Jesus. Wherever the word's going on, the Holy Spirit's going on, and vice versa. No need to look any further than that. The emphasis of our international mission work is speak the gospel, plant churches, and show mercy. Speak the gospel. That's evident from the apostles' earliest mission. Speak the gospel. That's what they were called to do, to proclaim Christ crucified for sinners. Thanks be to God, because I'm one of them, and so are you. Thanks be to God. To plant churches. And we see right from the beginning, God calls his community around the word proclaimed. Churches are planted right from the beginning. Lutheran missions always lead to Lutheran churches. When the word is spoken, people gather around that word. Luther says, God's people are never without his word, and the word is never without God's people. And then what happens in this text? We see this community gathered, and the multitude of them that believed were one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that ought any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. They shared what they had. Koina, the text says. They had everything in common. That's what they did to care for one another. If somebody had possessions or significant property, he sold it to sustain this nascent church. And Barnabas was right in the middle of them. This Levite from Cyprus. Mercy. Well, Acts chapter 11, fast forward about 13 years. The gospel had been persecuted in Jerusalem, struck, and so the Christians fled. And one of the first places they fled was the city of Antioch, where they were first called Christians, right? And Barnabas is there. And not only Jewish believers were there, but all of a sudden, Gentiles started to believe and come to the church because of the word of Jesus and his resurrection. Now, what do we do with these people? These people are weird. They have tattoos. They cut themselves. They have a culture of temple prostitution. Everything about them is unacceptable to Jews. The Jews cannot even eat lunch with these guys, let alone be in the same church. So Barnabas needs help figuring things out. Who's he going to call? He calls a man from Tarsus named St. Paul, an expert in the law, a Pharisee formerly, one who persecuted the church. He comes down to Antioch, and I'm convinced, well, he helps straighten things out. It's a prelude to the whole controversy with the Galatians on circumcision. They work it out. No, Gentiles don't need to follow Jewish laws to be in the church. And I'm convinced it's Barnabas who comes up with the idea. There was persecution and famine at the time in Jerusalem. The mother church was suffering mightily. What did these Antioch Christians do, these bikers and sundry oddball Christians along with some Jews? They decided to take up a collection for mercy and send it to Jerusalem as a koinonia, as a fellowship. And the apostolic corporate life of mercy was born. Years later, after things had improved, famine came again heavily upon Jerusalem. Paul had learned a lesson already at Antioch, and he set off on his third missionary journey, and he began to collect funds for the persecuted church in Jerusalem suffering famine. And he traveled around the Mediterranean. That's where we get the collection from, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, end of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. God loves a cheerful giver. The gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Be sure to set aside your offering early in the week so that when I come, you're prepared. He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who sows upon blessings shall reap upon blessings. And all of that is directed for mercy to poor, needy Christians suffering in Jerusalem. And Paul takes the money back to Jerusalem. Along the way, he picks up people to go with him, like Luke, like Trophimus, like Titus, whom he had co-opted to go to the different churches, go to Macedonia. He cajoles the Macedonians at one point. Or he cajoles the Corinthians. Look at the Macedonians, those hicks from the sticks. They've outgiven you. He collects this money. He's traveling by ship with a bunch of Jews, dressed like Jews. The authorities simply think they're taking the collection to the temple tax. That's not what they're doing. And Paul takes that money to Jerusalem. He hands it off to the deacons for the needy Christians there. He spends the better part of a decade working on this issue. So does the New Testament give us an illustration of the church in mercy for others? It certainly does. And Paul not only goes to Jerusalem, he ends up dying for taking his money to Jerusalem. The Ephesians lie about him. He gets nabbed by the authorities. They lie about him taking somebody uncircumcised into the temple. He's put in jail. He's put in jail at Caesarea Philippi. The jail has been discovered in recent years. Another marvelous archaeological dig. He's before Felix, Festus. When he's asked by the governor, what was he doing in Jerusalem? He says, I was there to deliver a koinonia, an offering for the saints. That's why our church today, my friends, and every Christian church, wherever it is healthy, speaks the gospel of Christ for forgiveness, plants churches as communities that care for one another and receive God's gifts, and shows mercy both to those local and those far away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.